Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. You are now tuned in to The Pastor Spot, a weekly radio ministry of Community Christian Fellowship. My name is Terry Tackett. At this time, it is my distinct pleasure to turn it over to the host of the show, Pastor Steve Whitaker. Hello, Pastor.
Good evening, Terry. What a beautiful day it's been. Nice, sunny, warm day. Wasn't it really nice,
it was nice
to be out today?
And yeah.
It wasn't extremely excruciatingly hot. It's great to see you guys tonight and talk to you over the air here at WWGH. Remember that you can always call in here at 740-383-9944 anytime and have a question or even a prayer request. But remember, I have to remind you, if you do have a question, always keep it friendly and nice and on the upbeat, or I might be forced to cut you off, right? And we try to keep things right around here. It's great to be here tonight. It's exciting to be entering into a new month again. And it's just been, you know, this first part of June has been pretty good. I've enjoyed it. I had a birthday on Saturday, and Father's Day is coming up this week. You know, what more can a guy ask for, right? But also, my granddaughter's wedding shower was last Saturday on my birthday. Mm. So instead of spending the time doing birthday things, everyone did that. But it was kind of good in a way, because I was just kind of my own time, and I don't always get a lot of my own time, and not that I did anything special, mm-hmm. but it was just kind of nice not to have to be anywhere. It's great to be needed, but sometimes, man, it's nice to have that alone time, that time to yourself. How you been, Terry?
I've been doing great.
I've been doing pretty good, too. Yeah. I think everybody's trying to muddle their way through all this stuff. I can tell you some of these really good for me this week and encouraging. And some people probably don't want to hear me say this because it's their business. But I have been staying away from the news media for about 5 or 6 days, other than just catching some high points of the news. And I have found that I have felt so much better. Man, they can depress me. How about you? I think so. You know, I encourage people to be informed. It's so, so important to be informed. But at the same time, we shouldn't live and breathe by everything we hear from talking heads. You think?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and maybe I'm a talking head sometime. I don't know. But church has been going great at Community Christian Fellowship. Community Christian Fellowship is at 209 East Water Street in Prospect. Our number there is 740-494-2222. I would encourage you to call if you ever want to talk to me or have any questions. If I'm not there, I do promise I can get back with you. We're also at prospectccf.com.
I was going to ask you, how's capacity? Are you guys...
Capacity is doing well. We've divided the services to make more capacity.
Still doing two or...
Oh, yeah. I don't know when we'll stop that. Be honest with you, and who knows?
So we may become a staple then.
We may grow enough that we'll just have to stay that way. I don't know, but it's been good. It's worked out for people. People that are obviously our 9:30 service.
I was going to say, how are you spacing them out time wise? What's your first one?
9:30 is the first one, and 10:45 is the second. What that tries to do is, if I do 9:30, I can try to wrap it up around 9:15, and that gives us a half hour to clean the church, and wipe everything down and before the next group comes in. And
a lot of your older parishioners, are they taking advantage of that?
Yeah, I think so. Most of them are. And it's good. And some people have actually told me they love the 9:30 now they come to it, because, you know, it's nice for them to get back home by 10:30 in the morning, quarter to 11. And I can see that too, but no, it's been good, and I've just we've had a wonderful congregation. Our giving's been where it should, as far as being able to keep the ministry going, and even doing some outreach and helping and doing some things that, you know, are difficult during this time. You know, that's interesting. One of those things that is affected that people don't always talk about. You know, when businesses don't do as well, charitable giving is down. And I don't mean specifically to the church, but across the board, and in all manners of charitable giving. And I think it's much needed. You know, America's always led the way and when it came to helping people out in times. Anytime there's a tragedy in the world, I don't know if everyone knows this, but the American people, we're the first ones in, always are. No matter what happens anywhere, even if it's not a very friendly country to us, you know, we're the first ones in. You remember the tsunami that hit Sri Lanka? You know, Sri Lanka was not exactly a real good friend of the United States of America. And we were there in mass number immediately doing everything we could. And that's just the nature of our country. It always has been. And another thing that might surprise some people is that the church and the amount of work that they do. I had it interesting, and I was listening to it the other day. I'm trying to remember who. I think it was somebody with the Department of Health and Human Services several years ago made the comment that if the government had to take over the extent of the charitable work that the churches do in this country, that they couldn't do it. They just literally could not do it. Because between food, clothing, housing, medical, counseling, and the list just keeps going on and on. All the services that churches offer, the social services churches offer too. It's astronomical, the amount of that money that is. And that's why I kind of chuckle when someone says, oh, we need to take the tax-exempt status away from the church. And I'm thinking, are you crazy? Do you know what they do with their money? Unfortunately, people will see those Sunday television shows or during the week of the large venues with someone that is living very high on the hog, and they hear what their income is and that kind of stuff. They think, well, that's what they're doing. We need to tax them because they're not, you know. But the truth of the matter is that is a very, very small percentage of the churches in the United States of America. What would you guess would be the average attendance of churches across this country? Oh, wait a minute. Let me back that up. What would you guess would be most people's thought if they didn't go to church and they only flipped the channels on Sunday, okay, and that was the experience they had with the church? What would you think their guess was the average attendance in a church was?
I guess they would think there would be thousands of people.
Yeah. Yeah, they would. But the truth is the average attendance of churches in the United States of America is 80.
Wow.
80 people.
50. I didn't, wow. 80 people.
And in some areas, I'm sure it is 50. Most of your small towns in America, your average attendance is around 50 or 60. So, you know, and they're still doing those works. You drive through Prospect on any given Sunday or, you know, the church, the St. Paul's across the street has a huge food pantry. You know, we have, of course, the school backpacks that we do at the church and the stuff of that nature. But you just take those small churches in Prospect and look at the amount of outreach they do. Mm-hmm. And the amount done across this country is just unbelievable. It's kind of funny. You drive through any little town, and moderate town, large city, whatever, you always see on the sign, breakfast on Wednesday, free meal Sunday night, clothing closet here, all that kind of stuff. That's all stuff that the government does not have to try to take care of because it's completely separate. And that is one of the largest arguments in the world for tax exemption status for the church as a nonprofit. You know, as nonprofits go, the church is far more nonprofit than many nonprofits in this country. You can call something nonprofit, and it's nonprofit after the CEOs and the people at the top make a huge salary. Yeah, there's no profit left. But most pastors in America too. What is going on? Oh no! I'm getting a. Hang on, just a minute. See if that'll bounce back. I apologize, folks. I was just trying to fix a live feed that just got really messed up, and we'll have that. But anyway, you know, I think that people really get the wrong idea about, you know, what the church is truly about and what it does. Another interesting one that most people don't realize is that the amount of money that pastors make. You know, they think, oh man, huge salary. And the truth is there too, and it depends a lot on the denomination of the association. But a lot of pastors, most pastors out there, they make low median. low median income. I'm not going to tell people what I make. They wouldn't believe me. And that's because it's so off the charts high. But I don't, you know, that's not why I'm doing it. You know, being called into ministry, you're not doing it. You're not doing it to get rich, to be financially independent. You can still be financially independent, but you do it through being having a simpler life and simplifying things. But yeah, the church, there's a reason the church is nonprofit and needs to stay that way. However, I will say this too, Terry, that within the church, I would pray that if they ever took the tax-exempt status away from our church, that our giving would not change at all. You know, I would hope that people are giving to our church, and I think that most do, are giving to our church because they desire to give, and they're honoring God with their gifts, not because they're needing it for a write-off. But I think where things fall down sometimes is companies in different places that sometimes would like to have a charitable write-off or need to, will give it to a church or somewhere towards a particular program. And I think that, you know, if you took that tax-exempt status away, you'd see a lot of that stuff go away. Because I know that a lot of churches partially depend on that type of giving, you know, to keep things going the way it should. But, you know, in this country, we have some really neat people. And, you know, to see what we see lately as a representation of what our country is doesn't show that at all. And I don't think that's real fair either. I don't think that, I'll give you an example. In the last week, I've probably had personal interaction either at a place where I was at or I'm trying to think where. Anyway, I've had face-to-face personal interaction in one way or another with several people that were black. And it was like it's always been. You know, hey, buddy, how's it going? Oh, pretty good. What's up? You know, you talk back and forth, and it's small talk or a conversation starts, whatever. You want one guy holds the door for the other guy. I'm not seeing this hatred out there. I'm not even seeing the black hatred towards me. And they're not seeing any white hatred. You know, I think the bulk of America is still pretty much like, Terry, I know you. I know that you have, when you deal in public and you're with people in your private time, it doesn't really matter what color someone's skin is, does it? It doesn't to me either. And I don't think that it matters to most of America. But unfortunately, what we're seeing on the up front right now is the worst. We're seeing the worst case scenario of what's out there. And I guess because, you know, like Scott always says, what makes news? You know, it's those things that make news. And many times things are dollar driven. You know, if more people are watching this station and they see the confrontation, you know, people want to watch that confrontation. They want to see that kind of stuff. And it makes news. But I don't think that even though it makes news, that it is always prudent to do. There's things we can do that may bring in money. They may bring in viewers. They may be interesting. But are they really doing people any good down here? Getting young children involved in some of this stuff that they don't even comprehend or can't comprehend yet, I don't think is the best idea. And I really wish that today that our news media, and I don't care what organization it is, I don't care what network it is, but I just wish that across the board they would report the news and trust us to have enough common sense to make up our own mind about what's right, wrong, what we believe, what we don't, and to analyze it. Being told what to think and all the agenda-driven stuff, it gets very, very tiring. Very, very tiring. It's belittling. You know, it's telling people that they don't know how to think. And nobody wants to really be told that, I don't think. You know, it's just like we see very few stories about all the good that churches are doing. I remember we had a conversation one time, Terry, you and I did, about what churches were doing, and you had said to me, well, then why don't we see it anywhere? Why aren't we, if the churches are doing so much, why aren't we seeing it everywhere? And the reason is twofold. One, first one is because you know, as believer, as Christians, we believe that the reason we do things we do is because out of the love of God and the love of God through us. And it's not out of personal self-promotion. And we're not supposed to do that. We're supposed to do it out of the kindness of our heart. And any rewards we may get one day will be in heaven. They're not going to be here on earth. And the Bible actually says that, you know. If you want to brag and boast about all the good that you do, you've already had your reward. Don't expect it later. And that's the first reason. I think the second reason is because the media just isn't going to show it. They just are not going to show it. They're not going to show it on a regular basis what the churches are doing. Let me tell you something out there that I bet most people have no clue of. We know what the Salvation Army is. We know what the Red Cross is, right? We know that. Who do you think are their hands and feet in the field? It's the churches. They're cooking. The Red Cross and Salvation Army many times will do the supplying of food and equipment and funds, and then the church comes alongside, primarily in a lot of cases, the SBC, which is Southern Baptist Convention in America. And that's one of those things, you know, talking about names earlier and how interesting names are. That's one that always surprised me about the Southern Baptists is, A, there's probably more Southern Baptists in the North than in the South, and B, they're not much Southern anymore. And they are still Southern, don't get me wrong. But a lot of people hear that name, and they equate it with good old boys down in the South. You know, they do, don't they? And that's not what it is. I mean, some of the churches would surprise you if I told you. Genoa in Westerville, Southern Baptist. Life Point in Delaware and Lewis Center, Southern Baptist. Would you ever think that for a minute? Never even in your mind that they were. But they go. They believe it's because the Southern Baptists as a whole, they believe in their statement of faith, and they support them, and they're also doing unbelievable missionary work, and so they are a part of that. But you know, perception's just there. I'm surprised that years ago the Southern Baptists didn't change their name. I know they had talked about it because of that connotation people come up with immediately. If I were to call something Appalachian Ministries, what would people think? They would immediately think that they were dealing with people that didn't have any teeth and any money that lived in the hills, right? And it could be something completely different.
This might be something that's encompassing those states or whatever.
Yeah. It was funny. I was in Florida a year ago, and I was talking to a lady that lives up here, and she was down there. I know her. And she's been new to church the last few years. And she goes to she went to a church down south where my sister goes in Florida. And I said, hey, when you're up north again, I asked her where she went, and she told me it was I forget the name of the church, The Rock or something like that. You're one of those type name churches. And I said, a friend of mine has a church called Creekside that is literally right behind where you live. And I said, it's a wonderful church. I said, so if you ever get busy and can't make it over there and just want a Sunday, I said, buzz around the corner and go to them. And she said, well, what kind of church are they? I said, well, they're affiliated with the Southern Baptist. She went, I wouldn't go on a Southern Baptist church if I had to. And I thought, does she even know what it is? Because obviously she didn't.
Right. And perception was still what you were talking
perception
about.
Perception is what I was talking about. I'll tell you another real good one that to give you an idea of perception. We had the discussion earlier about Black Lives Matter. And Black Lives Matter, if you ask me, do Black Lives Matter? Absolutely, they matter. They better matter. You know, but there's the organization isn't necessarily what the title is. You know, go to their website, look up what they're behind, what they support. It would surprise you. That's why the lady I was telling you about earlier, that was on that I was listening to earlier, that was African American, and she said they don't represent me and they don't represent our culture. And she started listing all the stuff they represent that you don't see. The stuff you do see is all on the surface. We Black Lives Matter, but their main agenda is down here that you're not hearing what it is. And that's what she was saying. She said, "You don't, you folks don't represent me." She said, "Yes, Black Lives Matter, but you do not represent me." And it's kind of what that thing in that a name's always in. One that I always like to toss out there, I get a big kick out of, and this has way different than an organization of that nature. But you go in the meat counter at the store, and you see certified Angus beef. Now, anybody that knows anything about beef or about farming or anything, or even slightly knows that the good old black Angus cattle are great cattle, and good boy, that's the benchmark right there, is that certified Angus beef. And what they don't understand is that certified Angus beef is a trademark. It has nothing to do with black Angus cattle. Nothing whatsoever to do with it. So yeah, I got an Angus steak tonight, you know, I got certified Angus beef. Well, you might be eating Maine Anjou or Kianina or a black polled Hereford or a and because what they have to be a certain grade, and they have to be a certain percentage black. So that has nothing to do with a black Angus bloodline cattle. You see what I mean? But most people would think, yeah, I had me a good old Angus steak the other night. I know you didn't. You might have, but it's very possible it was something completely different than you thought, because the trademark was certified Angus. Isn't that interesting? And it's misleading, because even in the name certified Angus, doesn't that sound like this is a certified Angus piece of meat? No, it's a name. Just like I will argue that Black Lives Matter is about far, far more, and majority more than black lives. So what's not fair is if someone asks me, do you think Black Lives Matter? I say, absolutely. Do you support Black Lives Matter? And I say, no. And they say, well, why not? You said that Black Lives Matter. Because, once again, it's a bait and switch. It's a name. It's a name that they're going by that is not really who is pushing the buttons on any of this stuff. Matter of fact, I firmly believe that most of the buttons on that organization are being pulled by white people, not black people. And I'm just telling you, hey, look it up. Look it up. Dig into it. Before you call me crazy or yell at me and call me a racist, look it up, because I'm not a racist. I love people. And that doesn't come with a skin color. It doesn't come with a certain ethnic group. It doesn't come with anything. I love people. But let's not let people fool people based on something that will touch their emotion buttons. I was listening to a man talk today, and he said something very, very interesting. He said, please, he said, white America, don't let your guilt destroy my race. Don't let your guilt, how you're feeling, destroy my race. And I'll let you fill in the blanks on that one. And maybe it's time people look stuff up and figure out why that man said that. This was a proud black man. And he said, white America, please don't let your guilt from past wrongs destroy my race. So why did he say that? Look it up. And I think that it's interesting. I don't get in deep in those arguments, because what happens a lot of times is you get people that are operating on all 12 cylinders of emotion, and you cannot have a conversation that doesn't go haywire. You know, the minute you say one word that would even tend to be something that's not agreed with, the explosion happens and the name-calling. And, you know, I'm not getting into that. There's no reason for it. But I really wish that a lot of times people would stop and smell the roses. When they get done smelling the roses, stop and research things that don't believe everything you're told. You know, really. I've shared this on the show many times. I was born in Columbus, Ohio, but I should have been born in Missouri, because it's the show me state. And I'm one of those kind of people. You got to show me. I mean, I don't take a lot of things on face value. Never have, just not in me. I'm an investigator. I look into stuff. I like to scratch my head when someone says something and think, is that true? And then look into it and see where the truth really lies. And I can tell you by doing that, you know, even in that, yes, I've questioned many things about the Bible, but the deeper I study the Word of God, I see nothing but absolute truth and unequivocal truth. It's factual, it's there. And if people don't want to believe that, I'm sorry. But I can't make anyone believe anything. People have to look for themselves and have to decide for themselves. But what I can say is that don't just dance through life without stopping to say, you know what, my life is important enough and my family's life's important enough that I check into this and see whether it's real or whether it's not. See what the Bible says is true or is not. Study the Word of God. Don't listen to these. Don't listen to people on the History Channel. Please, please, please. Because the problem is they study history. They don't study theology. They're not real theologians. So many people go into the study of the Word of God based on, they say, I'm going to look at it objectively, but they're not. They're looking at it to prove where it's wrong. Well, that's not being objective. And, you know, to go into it, you know, I want the Word to prove itself to me over and over again, and it does. And that's what's so cool about it. Because it's always been honest truth. It's always been very direct. What do you think, Terry?
I think you're exactly right. I mean, you're right on.
I just really...
Research, you definitely research it before you...
We need to research stuff. What happened to when we used to do that? You know, when I was... First time I bought a... encyclopedia set for my kids when they're little. Now, most people wouldn't understand what I'm talking about because they got internet and do everything. You'd never see an encyclopedia. But we used to have these guys that were encyclopedia salesmen. And they'd come door to door. They'd call and try to make an appointment. And they'd show up at your house with this beautiful example of their encyclopedias and everything that was in it. And there are always perks that went with it. Like we bought... Encyclopedia Britannica when our kids were young. And with that came a free research service that was paid for with getting it. And what you did was, if you had any question on anything that you needed research on, you would call this number, ask the question, and give them your account number, and they would get you a one- or two-page, three-page research thing on it within a matter of days. And that was one of those things. Wow, how cool is you know do that? But I think people used to enjoy researching things. But I think we're so bombarded with information today, and it's so much at our fingertips that we just do it, and we just trust it. You know, everybody quote a lot of times. People want to quote Snopes all the time. You know, I don't trust Snopes any more than I trust some of the other ones. You better be checking three or four other places. You know what I mean? Those are some things we could be doing to better ourselves. There's some things we can do to be more informed. And the more informed you are, the more you realize when people are making comments that they're either uninformed or B, they're trying to pull your chain. And I can handle uninformed a lot more than I can people trying to pull my chain. You know what I mean? When I know, they know the truth. I remember years ago, we had a presidential candidate running. I'm going quite a few years back now. So there weren't horse and buggies, except in horse shows. But it was quite a few years back. But anyway, I was all set to vote for this particular candidate. And they were on national news one day about an issue that I think myself and everyone in the country knew what the truth was. And right in front of the camera, they lied. And I knew it, and everyone knew it. And that upset me so bad, because how can you, being president of the United States of America, look right in the public's eye and lie? And I didn't vote for him. Looking back on it, I wish for the way things turned out, maybe I should have anyway, held my nose and voted for him. But the point is that now lying has become such commonplace that we don't know how to decipher anything anymore. You know, so I urge people to not only to research something, but don't just go to one resource. You know, don't go to some place where you know what answer you're going to get, or you know what their opinion is going to be on it. And try to get to the root of the resource. And what I mean by that is, try to find, with the question that you're asking, what the basic lowest common denominator is of it, where it began, and get to that point. And you see what I mean? Like, I'll give you an example. If I'm going to ask Terry about his life, the best thing I can do is ask Terry. If Terry's gone, then maybe I want to ask any of his family members that are left, friends that he knew, about Terry's life. But as I get further and further away from Terry, I may get all kinds of information that has nothing to do with Terry. Because we all know that a story, you've seen that experiment, where people sit around a big table and start here and we whisper a story and take it all the way around the room. When it gets back to the end, it's completely different. And that happens. So the point is, you know, a lot of things we need. One thing interesting, that one book that is amazing, because the Word of God, the Holy Bible, the manuscripts, everything, had been, from the earliest writings and earliest church New Testament writings also, had been passed and passed and passed around and back and forth. But when you look at those, when they've uncovered manuscripts years later that were maybe older, and they look at the stuff we have today and they look at them side by side, they've stayed true. Why did they stay true? They stay true, I firmly believe, because God had his hand in keeping them that way. And they did stay true. They were meticulously passed down and copied because they were true. People wanted to pass on the truth. And I think that that's one of the great confidences that I have in the Bible. All the languages that it was written in that held true all the way through. And I think that's a really cool thing to show, one of the things that help show the validity of what was written and of who wrote it and at the time in which it was written. But it is so important that we look into stuff seriously. Just don't, if I wanted to know the facts on anything, I'm talking about facts, and I hate if I'm going to hurt anybody's feelings out there that may be a news anchor, but you'd be the last people I'd be going to, because it's agenda-driven from one end to the other, and it's either going to be, there's very few of it that's middle and balanced. They'll say they are, you know, and they always do this advertisement. If you want fair and balanced news, if you want, you know, you want the truth of the story, because we care about you. No, you don't. You care about getting us to believe your agenda. And that's what they truly care about. It's agenda-driven. And it's whatever the executives, the top, want. They want their people regurgitating what they want heard. And, you know, that's the way it is. I think we've long lost those days of the Walter Cronkites and those people that you weren't really sure what their politics were because they reported the news and as the news. And today, it's just so blatantly obvious, depending on the channel you're watching many times, you know, where people stand. And I wish that we could just go back to believing more truth. Another thing that's kind of very important in this country is liberty. Our freedoms and liberty. Terry, this United States of America, and we have been given a freedom of religion. We've been given individual freedom to become anything that we want, to believe anything that we want. But we haven't been given individual liberty to hurt anyone we want. You see where I'm at? And to physically hurt anyone we want. But you can do whatever you want. But that doesn't give someone a right to come back on me and tell me you can't do what you want to do, what you're going to do. Because we decided as a group that, you know, that this is what's right and this is what's wrong. You know, you look at the apostles when they were told not to preach anymore. And what they said, look, you know, we can obey you or we can obey God. Which one do you think we're going to obey? And I think that we see that, we're going to be seeing more of that with Christians as time goes on. I think that with a lot of the things that have gone on in the country and with a lot of decisions being made, that you're going to begin to see more of a stark difference between those that believe and follow God and those that don't. And I do know that those that believe and follow God are going to be persecuted for it. I really believe that. The Bible tells us it will. You know, that we're going to be persecuted for. We've seen it follow suit in other countries. We've seen it follow suit in Canada. I mean, in Canada, they have severely limited the speech of the church, and they've taken certain parts of Scripture and deemed them hate speech, and that's really sad. I don't know how you'd be a pastor in Canada without breaking the law on a regular basis these days. I would be breaking it all the time, because whatever I believe the Word of God says, whatever I see that it says, I'm going to say it because I believe it's God's Word. And, you know, in this country where we have a freedom of religion and worship and what we believe, I have every right to do that. And but we're so quickly moving away from, it's becoming very unpopular to be a Christian in modern America. And that's a sad thing. Because, once again, if people research and people look at the truth of what's going on, it is the Christian church that is reaching out and helping in so many ways with pregnancy centers, with marriage counseling, with family counseling, with food, with clothes, with on and on and on it goes. But, you know, we don't hear about that. And there's part of the agenda thing, too. If they were on the news telling you all these great things they were doing, how could they then come back and in the same breath and try to put you down and say that what you're doing is wrong or what you believe is wrong? You know, you can't lift them up and tear them down at the same time, so you just don't say anything about the lifts up, so when we tear them down, it's a lot easier, right? You know, if I already always told everyone how wonderful a guy Terry was and that he helped people and he did this and blah, 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 and then I tried to also at the same time tell people that, you know, what Terry did, Terry doesn't think well. It's old thinking. He's antiquated. He's on and on it goes. They'd say, well, which one is it, buddy? So I think that we're seeing a lot of that. I truly do. You know, the church is going to see some rough days ahead. The true church. Those that give in to social pressure, in my opinion, are not the church. It doesn't have to be my opinion. They aren't the church. Read your Bible. It'll tell you. They're not the church. The church is going to be whittled down to a remnant of those that truly believe the Word of God and follow it, and others are going to look for excuses to not follow it. And those are the ones that will go along with what society says just out of the sake of unity. But what kind of unity is it? It's real interesting having a discussion last Sunday in church about love. And, you know, many times people say, well, if you love someone, you know, you're going to want them to be happy. You're going to want them to get along with them. But the truth of the matter is that love and truth go hand in hand. Telling the truth is love, right? If my kid's doing something wrong that I know is going to lead them down a wrong path, and they're going to regret it down the road in their life, and I don't step in and intervene, I don't intervene because I want to get along with them. That's not love. Love is the intervention. Because you love them enough that even if they're going to get angry with you or dislike you, what their life's going to be down the road is more important than what they think about you in that minute. And I would say the same thing goes for dealing with people, too. I share what I believe and who I am because I know what God can do in a life. And I want to see God do that in your life. I'm not going to get any special awards for you believing, but I should desire for you to follow God and to want to know the truth, because I should love you enough to care that you know that. I may never see you again, you know, but I want you to know the truth on the way out the door. You know, I remember one Sunday a fella came forward into the service and he was just sobbing. You know, he just really wanted to get right with God and give his life to the Lord. And that was wonderful. And I sat there and we prayed together and he gave his life to Christ. And they didn't live anywhere near here. And I was able to get on the phone, call a pastor friend of mine from where they lived, which was quite a ways away. And the pastor got a hold of them. They've been there for the last 3 years and they're doing great. And, you know, that's what it's about. Did that benefit us financially? No. Did it increase people sitting in our pew? No, but that's not, this is what I'm trying to say, that's not what it's about. It's about that person's life being changed. It's more important. It's not about how, who's sitting in my pew. It's who's sitting in the kingdom. It's who's trusting God. You know, it's about the growth of God's church, not the growth of our church. And I think in a lot of ways we've gotten away from that. So, a lot of things to talk about. It left you a lot of things to think about tonight. We're going to have a busy summer. I know we're going to be doing some things with young people, which we'll get out there and talk about. This Saturday in town, in Prospect, is women's breakfast at 9 o'clock in the morning. Ladies, you're welcome to come. It's a great time. Ladies eat breakfast and sit around and have a little devotion and talk. And I'm usually back in my office, and I can hear them out there laughing and just having a great time. So it must be good. Maybe they're talking about me, but that's why they're laughing. You think they're... no, they have a great time. You're welcome to come to that. And like I said, the services are 9:30 and 10:45. We're at 209 East Water Street. The street's torn up in front of the church, but there's plenty of places to park behind it. And across the street, actually, the church across the street lets us use some of their lot. And the construction company doing the road construction built us a little land bridge across that. So it's kind of cool. But I would encourage people, too, to check in on the elderly, if you could. Those people that are still scared and closed in, and there's a lot of them. Keep our ministry at Community Christian Fellowship in prayer. We can always use it. I can always use it. I want to give a shout-out, if I can, to Karen Yoder, who just came through surgery well today. Go, Karen. God's great. And my granddaughter, Julia, just got her last drain tube out of her back from her spinal surgery, and praise God for that, and just some neat things going on out there. And God bless you guys. I hope you have a wonderful week. Love to see you in church. And like I said, give me a call if you ever want to talk, 740-494-2222. God bless you guys. We'll see you. Bye.
You're listening to WWGH Radio 107.1.